prayer moves the hand of Him who moves the world and made the world. Amen? Prayer is the work going to the throne of grace. You have not because you ask not. Every Christian should have a time of prayer every day, 7 days a week.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day, everyone, and welcome to Love Never Fails. On today's program, Pastor Bill concludes the message, Prayer is the Work, from a study of the Epistle of James. Now, let's listen in.
In other words, are we to make less of Jesus today than he was in the New Testament? No, I mean, the Bible says in Hebrews 13, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The question about healing now. I don't understand healing. I'm being honest. But has God's word changed? Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So if God's word has not changed, has our resurrected, risen Lord, who is seated at the right hand of God right now, has he changed one of his commandments? May I read it to you? It's called the Great Commission. Let me read it to you. It says in Mark 16:15, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, Jesus said, the risen Lord. It says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. Who are those who believe? Those that have been preached to, not apostles. Just here I am, I'm a lost person, and now I heard the good news, and now I'm Christ is my Lord, and I'm baptized. It says, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. Do you believe that? No, do you believe that? Have you ever confronted that? I don't want to ever confront it, and I have many times. Now see, listen, the spiritual realm is more real than our realm, loved one. Now, and so it says they will cast out demons, they'll speak in new tongues, they'll take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it's not going to hurt them. Now here it comes, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. How many people have you laid hands on this year? Laid hands on, Lord, please touch them, heal them. Could be depression, anything. It says, and so then after they went out and the Lord had spoken to him, he went up into heaven, sat down at the right hand of God, and they went, these disciples that believed, and they preached the word everywhere, and guess what? The Lord working with them, confirming the word, and listen to how the word was confirmed, through the signs. Amen. What a word. So has Jesus changed the Great Commission? Okay, so we know that's healing and those things are still today. Listen, God has healed many people at this church. I could call out names right now. It wasn't just a few weeks ago or a couple of months, 3 months ago, whenever it was, that a woman that we pray for was healed of cancer. I mean, we have the picture from the doctor, loved one. God is a healer. But then we pray for others. I pray for people, and most of the people I pray for in the hospital, they die. You don't want me coming. But I don't understand. But God is God. And so forth. And you say, well, I had the elders pray for me, and they anointed me with oil. They rubbed it all over me, and I wasn't healed. I had to go to the doctor. Praise the Lord. At least you went to the elders first. And then, guess what? Does God use doctors? You better believe he. Was Luke a doctor? It was Paul the apostle thankful for Luke? You better believe he was. Listen, God heals. Listen, God heals naturally. If I cut my finger right now and I start bleeding, you know, like a paper cut. Doesn't a paper cut hurt? But all of a sudden, about what, a few minutes, the blood starts coagulating. Why? Well, God made your body to heal itself, right? If you get a cold, you finally get over it. You hate it, but you finally get, because God puts the stuff in our body. So God heals naturally. He made our bodies that way. God heals supernaturally, but he also heals by medicine. Thank God for doctors, amen? But remember that doctors, they're called practitioners. The great physician is not a practitioner. He knows, amen? He is the healer. And so, but listen, years ago, remember the movement that was out there, don't go to the doctor, just believe? You know, or you don't have any faith if you go to a doctor. Well, those people that did that to me, I punch them. Yeah, no. Now, Maybe the reason that we don't see a lot of healing in the church today is because we're not obedient to verse 16. Look what it says. It says, confess your trespasses. Okay, but I want to get the second part. Pray for what? One another. That is a command. It's not an option, Christian. It's an imperative in the Greek. Pray for one another. Why? That you may be healed. That word means to be cured, to restore bodily health. You're to do that. You have body ministry. You have the responsibility to pray ye one for another. Now, and so it says, confess your trespasses. The King James Version says faults to one another. You know, there's about 1.3 billion people on this planet in a particular denomination. They are taught that they're not to pray for one another. They're taught that they have to go to the priest and make confession to the priest, and then they can receive divine forgiveness. But that's not what it teaches here. They use that verse for that. But it doesn't say that. It says, confess your faults or trespasses, your slip-ups to one another. Not to elders. You can. Not to pastors. Well, you can. But it says one another, okay? Very important verse right here. Now, listen. No human being can forgive sin. No. There is only one mediator between God and men. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, or the man Christ Jesus, as it says in 1 Timothy 2:5. Now, does the Bible teach that all of us, the New Testament believers, are we a priesthood unto God? Yes, 1 Peter 2:5 says we are a holy priesthood unto the Lord. We don't need to go to a priest because we are a priest. We don't need to go to someone and make a confession. So what in the world is he talking about here? Well, let's talk first of all about forgiveness. There is only one person who we need to confess our sins to, and that is God. And you know why? He's the only one that can forgive our sins. Amen? The Bible says, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and he is just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? Confession is made unto him. Now, but it says here, confess trespasses one to another, and that is a command. Well, you know what? If we really had to confess trespasses to one another, if Marshall and I started right now, we might be here for 4 days. You see what I'm getting at? So what is it saying? You know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his little book, Life Together, talks about confession, you know, to one another. And he said this in his book. It's a good book, by the way. He who is alone with his sin is utterly alone. And I agree with that. Secret sins, presumptuous sins. But you know, I have a policy. When I sin, I'm quick to repent. Do you understand? And when we repent, is it cleansed? Does God remember it anymore? Okay, that's very, very important, loved one. Listen, let me say something to you, and this is really important. If you're going to confess your sins or slip-ups to each other and all of that, you better be very wise with who you do that with, because there's a possibility that what you confess to someone in 30 minutes later is going to be all over the Facebook and everybody in the church is going to know about it. You know what I mean? You have to be very, very wise if you do that. You have to know that the person is a godly person. But the number one thing you have to know is they have control over their tongue, that they would never say a word. It's very important. I don't, in my heart, and I could be wrong, but I've never taken that verse to mean that I'm going to come up to you. Okay, today I was on 820, I sinned. You're going to sin if you get on 820. You understand those people out there? But I've never taken it that way. I'm not saying it's wrong. It's a command. But I like the King James Version better because it says, confess your faults, your slip-ups. Now, if we use that word faults there, that would be more in line with what Jesus said in Matthew 18:15, okay? In other words, where he said this, if your brother sins against you, he says, okay, go tell him his fault. Say that word. Fault, his slip up, his trespass, go tell him, but to him and to him alone, not the whole church. And in other words, try to gain your brother, not lose your brother. I believe this is what James is really saying here. I really do with all my heart. Now, it says in 16 again, look at it, and pray for one another, again, why? That you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer, the persistent working in prayer, if you will, of a righteous man. Righteous man means those who have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, the great doctrine of justification, that you are now in Christ, okay? You're justified, just as you had never sinned. You're a righteous man, a righteous woman. It says availeth much or accomplishes much. It's powerful in the hand of a believer who believes that prayer really is the work. You don't have to be some spiritual giant, okay? So effective, fervent, we get our word energy, our English word energy. It also means to set on fire, if you will. So prayer is the work. Do you really believe that prayer is the work? No, Christian. Now listen, I'm going to hurt your feelings, but I'm hurting you, your feelings, and I'm doing it with tender love. Okay? Listen, prayer is the work. If you don't have a daily prayer time, I'm not saying you have to pray for an hour, and neither is God, but a daily prayer time where you're praying, you go into your room and you pray, that special place, that's where you pray. I have on my desk where I pray in my office, the laundry room, and I have all the names of those who are sick. Those that are, whatever the need might be. And I pray over each. I lay my hand right on that and I pray, oh God, you know them. You know what I mean? Every day, prayer, even on Sunday, you know? Now listen, I say this with love. If you don't have a daily prayer time, you should ask yourself this question: am I backslidden? Because I can assure you, if you're not praying, you're in trouble. Prayer is the work. Nothing happens without prayer. Do you understand? Prayer moves the hand of him who moves the world and made the world. Amen? Prayer is the work going to the throne of grace. You have not because you ask not. Every Christian should have a time of prayer every day, 7 days a week. You know what Ian Bound said about that? He said, little praying is worse than no praying. Little praying is kind of make-believe, a slave for the conscience. It's a farce. It's a delusion. Christ knows nothing of a prayerless Christian. What a word. Boy, prayer is the work. That's why here, as we conclude this great epistle, listen, God, the Holy Spirit, does something. He gives us the example of Elijah in the way he prayed. Now, Elijah, remember, never died. He was never buried. He was taking up that chariot of fire to heaven, remember? So here it says in verse 17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. In other words, he wasn't a superman. He was just like me and you, had failings and feelings and so forth. And look what he did. He prayed how? Earnestly. That literally means this. He prayed with prayer, or literally, he prayed in prayer. This is giving birth to prayer. He believed God. He believed that God could move. He says he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. It did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. Now, that's 1 Kings 17:1. Now, later on, and he prayed again. And then what happened? Heaven gave rain. That's 1 Kings 18. You have those scriptures there on your app. Now, listen. When you look at this here, what the people ask me, said, Bill, how long, when a person is ill, how long do you keep praying for them? Matter of fact, Marshall, when you was in the hospital, and we were talking about, I said, I always say, how long do I keep praying for people when they're ill? And I said, either till God has healed them or until they're not breathing. Now, when they stop breathing, they're healed. They're home. Amen? Yes. So we pray until that either they're healed or we don't stop. That's why he gave us this example here with healing. When you're praying for others, don't stop praying for them. You write their name down. You pray every day. Listen, we've prayed for people for months. They're months and months in the hospital. We're praying for Pat Cole. He's in the hospital. How many days now? 70? 70 days. Did you pray for him this morning? Boy, I pray you did. Because I'm praying, bladder, come alive. Amen? Yeah. Listen. Prayer is the work. God hears you when you pray. And so this reason here, he's giving that example during our prayer, but there's another reason during that time that the Holy Spirit moved James to write about Elijah. Remember when we opened the first chapter of James, chapter 1, it says to the 12 tribes, the Jewish Christians that are scattered abroad. Why were they scattered abroad? because they were in horrible persecution. They had left Jerusalem. They left their homes. They left their possessions. And man, it was a dark time for the Jewish Christians, okay? Now, but listen carefully. If you really study out Elijah, his time, we're living in the time of Elijah, I believe, right this very minute. And you say, well, Bill, how is that? Because in the time of Elijah, had the nation of Israel turned its back completely on God? Absolutely. Let me ask you another question. In the time of Elijah, is it just like ours? Yes, it is. Why do I say that? Because King Ahab and Jezebel, they were the leaders. They were wicked. They were evil, trying to lead the nation into darkness. And right now, we live in a nation that you love and I love, that we pray for every day, that since 2008 has taken us into darkness that I never thought imaginable. We need to pray. And not only that, listen to me now. What was the number one thing that King Ahab, talking back in the days of Elijah, what was the number one thing that King Ahab and Jezebel wanted to remove from the land of Israel? God. They wanted Baal to be their God. And you know what? Does that sound familiar, that we want to get God out of our nation? So we're living in that time. And it says here in the Bible in 1 Kings 16:30 that Ahab, he said, did more evil in the sight of the Lord above anyone that was before him. 1 Kings 16:33, Ahab did more to provoke the Lord to Israel and anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. So in 1 Kings 17:1, he goes up to tell Ahab, he says, you know what? It's not going to rain. It's not going to be any dew for 3 years and 6 months on this land. In other words, Ahab, I want you to know that God told me and judgment is coming upon you. 3.5 years later, God gives him another word, Elijah. In other words, it's time. Let me read it to you. And it says in 1 Kings 18:41, Elijah said to Ahab, who? You better go up. You better eat and drink, for there is a sound of the abundance of rain. And so Ahab, he went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. Remember, you could see the Mediterranean Sea, okay? And it says, and he did something. Listen to what he did now. He bowed down. He's on Mount Carmel. He bowed down on the ground. He put his face between his knees. Now, that is a picture of a Hebrew woman giving birth. What was he doing? He was praying in prayer, like I said, earnestly, remember? He was birthing prayer through the promise of God. It says, and so he said to his servant, now go up now and look toward the sea. Go look toward the Mediterranean. He says, so he went up, his servant went up, looked and said, there's nothing. What did Elijah pray? Elijah prayed the promise of God that God gave him. Do you understand? And to pray in faith, you have to believe the promises of God. Church, listen to me. Do you pray the promises of God? 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God are what? Yes, in him, in Christ. And again, amen. Yes. Listen, do you pray the promises of God? Ephesians 1:3, thanks be unto God the Father who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. Amen. Every blessing belongs to you. You are pronounced blessed by God. God says, I'll provide your every need. Doesn't say what that need, what not your greed, but your need. Amen. Do you pray the promises of God? Pray. Prayer is the work. There's no way around it, loved one. Elijah prayed, and listen, it was fervent prayer, it was persistent prayer, but it was expectant prayer. Do you understand? He expected God to move because God's word said it. He promised him. Do you understand? The promises of God are true, and you can pray them, you can believe them, and let him make it come to pass. Now, it says that he prayed 6 times. Can you imagine that? He's doubled over praying. He tells his servant, go look, come back, nothing. Go look, come, nothing. Go look again. Do you think the servant's going, it's not going to work? You understand? Go look again, nothing. Go look again. I mean, if I could add to scripture here, I mean, if I was that servant, I'd go, okay, this is 6 times, it's done, man. God's not doing anything. You need to get up and let's go home. But no, what happened? Let me read it to you. And then after the 6 times, see, Elijah didn't give up. And that's what God is saying to us. Don't give up in your prayer time. He says, and the 7th time, oh, he said, go again. And then he came to pass a seventh time. He said, he came back. Oh, there is a cloud. He says, oh, it's small as a man's hand. It's rising up out of the sea. He said, and he says, well, you go tell Ahab. He better get in his chariot. He better go down because it's getting ready to rain. And then all of a sudden what happened? There was a heavy, heavy rain. Listen, prayer is a work. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says yes. Sometimes God says wait. But he never says don't pray. He says ask, knock, seek. Listen, never, never make prayer your last resort. You make it your first resort. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 6:33. He said, seek ye first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What things? Everything that you need in life. Go back and read that in context. What did it say in verse 32 of the verse before 33? Jesus said, listen, your Father knows all the things that you need even before you ask him. But you seek first. Why? Because there, the kingdom, the throne of grace, that's where all of your provision really is. All the wisdom that you need, everything you need in life comes from God. We belong to him. We're his children. Amen? Oh, listen, prayer is the work. And then James does something now. He's going to close 19 and 20. Look what he does. There's no benediction. There's no greeting. In typical James fashion, what does he do? Another call to action, and he does something. He opens again with one of his favorite words in verse 19, the word brethren. And so now we move from the suffering Christian, the cheerful Christian, the sick Christian, and to the backsliding Christian. Watch this. Brethren, Christians, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, here comes the last command in James. Let him know, let him remember this, that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. But there are two promises that he gave us right there. Number one, if you turn him back or her back, either one, number one, he will be saved from death. He didn't say hell, because see, we're talking about a Christian. Maybe premature death, but not eternal hell. Amen? Now, watch this carefully. We're to do something for him. Our job is to go to the one that's erring and turn him back to the right way. The Bible says in Galatians 6:1, it says this, brethren, if a man is overtaken in a fault or a trespass, he slips up. It says, you who are spiritual, filled with the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. You have love in your heart, not a legalist. A legalist will never help anybody. You who are spiritual, restore. That word, we get that word to set a broken arm, okay, the bone back in place so it can use it again. Restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. Gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit, lest you yourself be tempted. And he says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And we have already learned the law of Christ. It's the royal law, James 2:8, to love your neighbor as yourself. I want you to really listen now. Open your ears. Don't get restless. I know I'm running just a little bit over. I look at this dangerous condition of an individual, and it says they're wandering from truth, the truth. And here's where I stand. And I said, I don't understand these last two verses. And I said, and here's what my question was. I said, what truth is James talking about? Now, Lord, you said if anyone wanders from the truth. I'm going to share with you, rarely do I do this. But as I prayed right there, I felt in my heart the Lord speak to me. But I asked that, Lord, what truth is James talking about? It didn't happen like this, but this is what came into my mind. Bill, what is the theme of the last verses of James? I said, prayer. Okay. And I said, oh. I said to myself, what if James means if you see your brother or your sister wandering away from prayer, the truth that is in prayer, the truth that God says in Peter, he says, my ears are open to my children's prayers. He hears you. Has a church wandered away from the truth of prayer, loved one? Why do we even pray? Because Jesus told us to. Prayer is the work. Never give up. Listen to me. Never give up. That's what we have to do.
Well, the Epistle of James has been a wonderful study, and we hope it's been a blessing to you as well. Thank you for listening today. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.